I'm Hannah.
Hi, I'm Rochelle, and welcome to BoxBox F1 Pod. We are doing a special episode in honor of the canceled Singapore Grand Prix. We were very excited for it. So instead of looking to the future, we're going to revisit a Singapore Grand Prix from the past. But before we do that, it's time for our digital roundup.
And today's digital roundup actually has to do with ourselves, because we are famous. We can't believe it, actually, because it happened so suddenly. We today surpassed 1,000 podcast downloads, largely thanks to the random strangers on social media we've been able to interact with in the last 3 days.
Yes. We're basically household names. You can't say the word box without people saying the podcast.
Box F1 Pod.
Yes, that's our influence in just 3 days.
It all started with TikTok.
We resisted for a long time.
Yes, because, I mean, it's just a scary place in there, honestly. Every time you open it, it just starts playing. It just starts playing videos without any warning. So we didn't know how to figure that out, but then we started uploading things, and you know, they were doing fine, like a few hundred views here and there, but suddenly we got over 34,000 views on one of our TikToks and endless likes and comments that have just been flowing in throughout the last 3 days. And I really appreciate the comments because two things are clear from our TikTok commenters. Everyone loves Christian Horner.
And we're other huge than fans. Dias.
Right. People were a bit upset that Dias, who was our guest on our last episode, he said he didn't like Christian that much, and the commenters came out of the woodwork to say Christian is the man or something like that. I'm not really sure what they said. There's been so many.
There's a lot. There's a lot of pro-Christian content. And a lot of... Well, not a lot of... There's no anti-Dias comments because he was funny about it.
Well, one man said, my respect for this man has gone down.
With two graphs going down.
Although another man said, clearly, this lad has to keep the comedy alive.
Because of these two lasses that are there with him. Unfortunately, he's a little bit beige, which is somehow rude and sexist and downright weird and all in one comment.
But anyways, other than that one man, there hasn't been
That's how we knew we made it. Because right. Once you've got your haters, you are on track for global success.
Yes. Basically, in today's economy, getting your first troll is like getting your first dollar.
Are we going to frame it?
Yeah, we need to print out on each social media platform our first troll and put it on our walls. Anywho, so we were doing phenomenal on TikTok, and then we decided to give it another go on Instagram, which has been a bit... lackluster.
I will say that in the last episode, Dias took the piss that we are jealous of Roscoe because he has more followers than us. And I said, yeah, we have 32 followers. We now have 70. So yeah. That was like 4 days ago. So I'm just saying.
The most important thing is that we have more followers now than those we are following. So our ratio is pretty good. But then I went to Roscoe's Instagram. He has 327,000 followers, and he's following 17.
Oh, wow. Picky guy.
I mean, he's vegan.
He doesn't like to clog his body or his feed.
So we're still considerably behind Roscoe, but I don't think we're as envious anymore. So our reels have been blowing up. Like, it's just randomly a reel we've posted a few days ago suddenly blows up and everyone likes it. But most importantly, we created a meme. Actually, Rochelle single-handedly created this meme.
You can tell because it's significantly worse than the rest of our memes.
but did so well because The Bachelorette premiered on Monday and one of the men showed up in a gift box. Rochelle put this gift box man into a pit lane and said, "The box is box boxing." It is truly the Formula One Bachelor crossover no one knew they needed.
Which we know because it was repeated in the comments several times. Yes. Over and over and over again. I did not know I needed this.
Yeah, but someone literally messaged us like, "Thank you for your service."
That was in, we made a second Bachelor meme, which is what he was referencing, which because I posted it in Formula Dank on Reddit and in the Bachelor subreddit.
Yeah.
And it was of Daniel. This one was made, this was all Hannah. She photoshopped Daniel Ricciardo's face on the Bachelor's promo thing and then put all of his former
ex-boyfriends
ex-boyfriends slash team principals on the poster and wrote "fourth time's the charm."
Yes, well, it's a callback to Nick Vial's season because he's had failed attempts on different Bachelorette seasons. So we put for Daniel his failed relationship with Christian Horner on Red Bull, his infamous breakup with Cyril on Renault. He's technically still trapped in a relationship with Zach Brown, but everyone knows there is zero chemistry and it's literally because they have a contract. So it's like a broken marriage.
Yeah. Which is sad because we love both of them individually.
Yeah, they just don't click, and that's fine. But
we just want Daniel to find his groove, and it sounds like a lot of other people do too.
In Formula Dank, there's only. I mean,
never say Dank again.
Why is this the main page? Okay, so on Formula Dank, it's not very enthusiastic.
It's just some puns. There's two puns, but that's like a very calm reaction. They're like, "We enjoy this, but
wait,
like,
say the pun."
Oh, one was Honey Bachelor.
Yes, which we love.
And the other one was Bachelor and Ricardo combined, and I'll let y'all figure that one out.
It was Bachelardo.
Bachelardo.
Whereas on the Bachelor subreddit,
people are much hornier.
Yeah, so people are horny in that they're like, Carlos and Charles could get it. And it's like, they're not even in this meme, but okay.
Imagine if someone left that in Formula Dank.
But also, they're much more creative and imaginative because they're like, they looked at our meme and then they're like, what if there is a whole episode on all of the Formula drivers as contestants on The Bachelorette? Like, who would be booted on night one? Who would win first impression? Who would make it to Fantasy Suites?
There were a lot of opinions on Fantasy Suites.
A lot. And we will absolutely address this critical topic, but we'll wait till the end of the episode.
Yes. So stick around.
But just one more thing. On Instagram, Juliet Littman, who is the head of production at The Ringer and the host of the Bachelor Party Pod, which is a great podcast, she actually shared our meme of the gift box man in the pit lane and said, "This is my demo." Because she loves F1 and Drive to Survive and obviously The Bachelor. So she was all about this crossover. And when I saw that Juliet shared our story on Instagram, I literally screamed in a public space. And at the time, I was with a coworker and she's like, "Oh my God, what? Did a guy text you?" And I was like, "No, even better." But then I had to explain a podcast host of The Bachelorette shared a meme that our podcast and it just didn't sound as good as it really is. But if you understand us and this crossover, you will appreciate this a lot.
Yes. It's a if you know, you know situation.
Yes.
I tried to shoot my shot, our shot with Juliet, and told her to start with the Monaco episode if she listened.
Monaco is one of our best, for sure.
Yes.
Our Drive to Survive recaps that we've done so far are pretty good.
Yeah, but by the way, we will pick those up again when there's a bit of an off
Yeah.
But we just have too much to cover.
There's so much content, and Drive to Survive will always be there to recap. But yeah, I would say my favorites are Monaco, Talkie, Cars.
That is not to say that we didn't love having Dias on, and we hope we will have him on again. He was incredible.
Almost too good. He made us so viral on TikTok, they might be expecting something different now.
Yes. So he set the expectations a little too high for what we could probably deliver. Or different. He set the expectations different.
Yeah. But we'll try to appease everyone, even though we have such a diverse audience now.
I know. So that was for the Bachelor fans. And now for the F1 fans. Or the history buffs. Or both.
So the Singapore Grand Prix started in 2008. And it's known for being very hot, but also very beautiful. It's one of the few night races, so the city's all lit up. It's known for being a very overwhelming and tiring race because it's so hot and requires a lot of focus.
So you see, like in Drive to Survive, you saw all of them like taking ice baths in trash cans. You'd think they'd be able to afford, like, I don't know.
Why not can't a trash they just can? Take a bath in a bathtub and put
because
ice in it.
Because they're in the paddock.
Oh.
But, like, they could at least get, like a blow-up pool. Like a kiddie pool.
That sounds nice. But a bit emasculating.
Better than a trash can.
They no, that's like all the rage. Grouch. No, but that's what athletes do.
What?
Yeah. In soccer, American football, and but in all sports, is what I'm trying to say. Across
but
all continents.
Can't they afford, like, a portable bath thing?
I mean, yes, they could, but doing it in a trash can means you're a true athlete.
Oh.
Other sports also have to, like, do ice baths, like, you know, like, adjacent to fields or places where, like, you have to have something super easily transportable. And what's more transportable than a trash can on wheels?
the best clip is Max in there because he genuinely looks like Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, he does. Anywho, that's the Singapore Grand Prix.
So, I'm going to tell the story of the Singapore Grand Prix, the inaugural Singapore Grand Prix in 2008. Before we begin, I'm going to give you some sample headlines that graced the newspapers at the time. So, like, use your imagination, you know, like in movies where newspapers, like, circle in and it, like, zooms in on the headline and then a different one does, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what I want you to visualize. Gentlemen, a short view back to the past. So, headline one, Singapore Grand Prix 2008, the infamous crash gate incident which shook Formula One massively. Next headline, the Singapore scandal, Alonso's controversial win of 2008. Headline three, Briatore says he sacrificed himself for the team. Headline four, disgraced F1 pair could face extradition. And then lots of crashgate, 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 crashgate. So I want to emphasize all the adjectives here. Disgraced, scandal, controversial, gate, infamous. This is the most dramatic race in F1.
Okay, I think we got it.
I just really want to set the scene.
You read all the headlines and then picked every word.
Okay, I'm sorry, okay, I'm sorry.
But thank you. We understand you're trying to set the scene.
Yes, okay, anyway, so as I talk, it'll feel a bit like an alternate universe for people who are fresh to Formula One because all the drivers are all over the place that is unfamiliar, so just bear with me. So, the focus is on Renault, and they have not won in 2 years by this point, which seems to be always the case with Renault. They're always like 2 years behind a win. At the time, their two drivers were Fernando Alonso and Nelson Piquet Jr. I want everyone to visualize Fernando not now in his old man aesthetic, but young and fresh and just off of his double back championship wins in 2005 and 2006. So he's super good. And he had a great free practice and a great quali, but in Q2, he had a mechanical issue. which again is Renault's fault as per, and Alonso had to start from 15th. But leading the grid was Felipe Massa for Ferrari, Hamilton for McLaren, and Kimi Raikkonen also for Ferrari, and he is the current world champion. Which you cannot tell by his performance in this.
This really does feel like an alternate universe.
I know.
This makes no sense.
I know. Then there behind them is Robert Kubica, who, for Drive to Survive fans, you might remember, was at Williams with George for a hot minute before he got replaced by Latifi. He's that old Polish guy who was really good and then crashed and then was just old. And he, in fifth place, was Heikki Kovalainen, who was the token second Finn guy on the grid. At the very beginning, Heikki tried to overtake Kubica in turn three in the very first lap, and they made contact. They were okay, but they immediately dropped down the grid after that, so they were screwed. This is the first incident that shook things up. But the big incident, when shit really went down, was in lap 14, when Renault's Nelson Piquet Jr., who is a Brazilian, crashed into the wall, like, aggressively, and the safety car came out.
I just have to say something. I'm pretty sure Nelson Piquet Jr. is related to Kelly Piquet, who is Max Verstappen's current girlfriend.
That's him?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, well, that puts things into perspective. Not really. There's nothing. She really likes her F1.
Yep.
Okay, so the safety car comes out because Nelson Piquet Jr. has rammed into the wall in lap 14. The pit lane is closed, but Nico Rosberg, the scary-looking man who won from Lewis and then retired immediately after because it was too draining, and Kubica both had to pit during the time the pit lane was closed because they were both low on fuel. And this is when you were allowed to refuel. And they later got penalized for this, but no one else was allowed to pit. But as soon as the pit lane opened, everyone else pitted except for Fernando Alonso, who had already done his pit stop earlier. But because everyone pitted at once, it was a whole mess. Ferrari had to stack their drivers. So Massa and Raikkonen came in at basically the same time. And as usual, the Ferrari engineers are panicking, whether there's something happening or not. They're in full panic mode, always, and press the green light for Massa to leave before they remove the fuel hose from his car.
Oh, no.
So he drove halfway through the pit lane with the hose still stuck in his car. So they, like, just, like, jogged after him to remove the hose. But this made him lose several spots. And he was in the lead. He was first, and he's very good at this point in time. In lap 40 something, Massa spun a la Mazepin and bumped into the tire wall, but he was okay. But later, a different driver crashed in the exact same corner and was forced to retire. And this man was the fifth retirement of the night. Five people had retired. But this retirement was bad enough to bring out the second safety car, which allowed Kimi to move up into fifth. But then he got a little ballsy and tried to overtake into fourth and crashed into the tire wall and ended up finishing last. So the two Ferraris who were in first and third were now the bottom two of the race, minus the five people that retired. So at this point, Rosberg is in the lead, but then the FIA got their crap together and started handing out penalties left and right. Rosberg had to do a drive through the pit lane because of the whole refueling situation. A bunch of other people had like 10-second pit stops. It was a whole mess. But this allowed Alonso to work his way up to first place. And he won.
Wow.
I know, it was a huge 15th to first, that's amazing. And it was a great for Alonso, and it was great for Renault, because it was the first win in years. But, as always, there are conspiracy theories floating around in the F1 world. Even still in the paddocks, when Massa, apparently, after the race, like, ran over to the Renault garages, and started yelling at them that they had intentionally, like, made that crash happen with Piquet at the beginning in lap 14. They said they orchestrated it, but nothing really happened of that. Those accusations sort of like drifted away until next year in 2009. Halfway through the year, Piquet got dropped from Renault and replaced by Romain Grosjean, which is a
how bad did you have to be replaced by Roman Grosjean?
And then, as all grumpy ex-employees do, he started making noise. I will read you the quote he said. First, the one he said right after the race, which was that from the start of the race, things were complicated and I had a lot of graining and the situation got worse and worse. The team asked me to push, which I tried to do. And finally, I lost the rear of my car. I hit the wall heavily, but I'm okay. I'm disappointed with my race, but obviously very happy for the team this evening. This was right after the race. Fast forward a year, he said, the proposal to deliberately cause an accident was made to me shortly before the race took place, when I was summoned by Mr. Briatore and Mr. Simmons in Mr. Briatore's office. Mr. Simmons, in the presence of Mr. Briatore, asked me if I would be willing to sacrifice my race for the team by causing a safety car. Every F1 race driver knows that the safety car is deployed on a track when there is an accident that leads to the track being blocked either by debris or a stationary car, and where it is difficult to recover a damaged car, as was the case here. At the time of this conversation, I was in a very fragile and emotional state of mind. The state of mind was brought about by the intense stress due to the fact that Mr. Briatore had refused to inform me of whether or not my driver's contract would be renewed for the next racing year, as is customarily the case in the middle of the year, around July or August. Instead, Mr. Briatore repeatedly requested me to sign an option, which meant that I was not allowed to negotiate with other teams in the meantime. He would repeatedly put pressure on me to prolong the option I had signed and would regularly summon me to his office to discuss these renewals, even on racing days, a moment which should be a moment of concentration and relaxation before a race. He said a lot more. This is a long quote, but you get the picture. He was salty. And so then the FIA starts investigating. And he got dropped somewhere mid-year in the September 2009, a year after the 2008 Singapore Grand Prix. Renault was officially charged with conspiracy. Flavio Briatore, the team boss, and Pat Simmons, director of engineering, both left Renault. Briatore was banned for life, and Simmons was given a 5-year ban. These were overturned in French court. I don't know how the French court got involved, but they were overturned in French court, but they had to promise to never work for any F1 organization again. Isn't Briatore the guy that Christian Horner named his dog after?
Yes. Christian Horner named his dog Flavi after Flavio Briatore. It wasn't just this that he got in trouble for. I think there was more serious.
I thought the other one got in trouble for.
They were corrupt in many ways.
Yes, evidently. And
oh, God. I'm on his Wikipedia. It says he's a circled member of Jeffrey Epstein's Black Book of Contacts, which has led to some controversy. You wouldn't say.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, Christian loves him enough to. Or hates him.
Hates him. He named his dog after him.
Yeah, but usually you love your dog, but that's a bit degrading, so.
Okay, our family friends named their dog Benji, and then their family friends got so pissed at them because their son's name was Benji that they stopped talking to them. They haven't spoken in like 10 years, and they were friends of like 30 years because they took it so personally. So who knows? Could be a huge insult.
Or an honor.
I'd be honored.
Either way,
Renault was disqualified from F1, but the disqualification was suspended for 2 years as long as they didn't screw up again.
Okay, basically, F1, because it's full of millionaires and billionaires, their punishments reflect that. Like, there's zero actual consequences, just things that they think would be mildly harmful to their image, but no one really cares and people move on.
That is that story. I don't know why no one's turned this into a movie yet. That sounds like a whole thing. I hope you enjoyed the ride. The end.
Yes, I did. Thank you. Okay. So if you've made it this long, you deserve to know what would happen if all of the current F1 drivers were contestants on The Bachelorette. Thanks to Reddit, we know exactly what would happen. Right off the bat, Kimi Raikkonen, the stoic Finn, would... Because people were like, oh, he might have a tough time because, you know, he might be shy or hard to talk to. But then someone said, no problem, he would just self-eliminate. So someone said, Kimmy would be drinking in the corner and not speaking the whole night, then just walk out on night one before the rose ceremony and go to his yacht.
He did that after a race. Do you remember that?
Right. Exactly. That's why they're saying he would do the exact same thing if he were on The Bachelorette for some reason. So Kimmy would self-eliminate on night one. Mm-hmm. In terms of the first impression rose, people were saying Daniel or Carlos. I mean, I think Daniel's a great contender for it because, like, if you've seen Drive to Survive, he does a really good job at leaving a first impression.
And we can tell by our Reddit comments.
Oh, people love Daniel.
We're impressed by Daniel.
People were like, oh my god, if he was the next Bachelor, I'd move to Australia immediately. And then some other commenter put, Googling how to get Australian citizenship now.
Daniel lives in LA, guys. He's very accessible.
Yes. You don't need to get citizenship to go on The Bachelor.
I would like to make an addition to these. I think that the one who keeps interrupting, you know, there's always
one person. Yeah, like, can I steal you for a second?
Yeah, would be George.
Yeah, especially when the Bachelorette is talking to Bodice.
Yeah.
Which, sadly, everyone on Reddit agreed that Bodice would have to go home on night one because that would be the most boring conversation ever. That's not me saying that. That's everybody out in the world. No,
yes, that is Reddit.
But yeah, I could totally see Bodice, like, being in the middle of a conversation and George coming up being like, can I get in here? Can I steal her for a second?
First, what would happen is Lewis would be in conversation with her, and then Bodice would be, like, stewing grumpily in the background and finally, like, make his move and, like, start talking to her, and then George would just, like, pop out of nowhere. Like,
yeah. Can I go for a sec? If that isn't Bodice's life in a nutshell, I don't know what is.
Surprise, Bachelorette is Toto Wolff.
Oh my god. Wait, actually, I just had an idea.
For a meme?
It could be, but I would have to think about how to make this into an illustration. But what about the concept of to find the second Mercedes driver, Toto Wolff has a reality TV show to find his D2?
I think that's a great idea. I think he should. I don't think he will.
But that would be highly entertaining and the perfect crossover. It just needs to be said as a consideration factor. Lance Stroll's father, Lawrence, is a billionaire. So even if you don't hit it off on night one, you should def keep him around in case sparks fly.
I don't understand why Lance is here and Lawrence is not. Shouldn't Lawrence be a contestant?
For one thing, Lawrence is in his 50s, at least. I don't think he's single, but
he's always, like, hugging a weird young blonde. Is that his wife?
Oh, never seen them.
And all the DTS, like, footage when he's not strolling through the paddock.
You know, like, after the Bachelor or Bachelorette episodes for a while, they've been putting out advertisements for... Are you a senior looking for love?
Yes.
That's for Lawrence.
No, his wife is hot.
Okay.
Oh, I guess she might be old, but she's a hot old person.
Regardless, he's just not the target demographic. But I do agree with you. I would keep
Lawrence over Lance. But for the record, his real name is Lawrence Sheldon Struovich.
You know what I think? He totally recognizes that the only way he walks is is by strolling. I'm going to name myself Stroll.
You're probably right. By the way, he's not hot in the, like, I'm looking at his face now. Like,
no, it's more of a rich man. It's like a
BDE. Yeah, BDE.
Yes,
BDE.
Just by looking at a photograph, you know this man oozes wealth and confidence. And what isn't attractive about that? He would get my first impression rose because he oozes wealth. Okay. No one's even close to as rich as Lawrence.
What came first, the vibe or the money?
This is like asking, is it the driver or the car? have to have the vibe to get the money, but then once you get more money, your vibe gets better, you know? Like, you kind of have to be in a good car to, like, show your skill, but then once you build up your skill, you can get in better cars.
Well, wow, what an analogy. Hannah.
Yeah, and I think a listener asked us, is it the driver or the car? So we just answered that.
Yes, to the listener, that is actually my dad.
Yes, that's my analysis of that question.
Incredible.
Sleeper pick, this is what a Redditor said, but I totally agree. The sleeper pick would be Checo, because similar to how he's been doing in F1, you know, he's there, he's like decent and good, there's nothing like wrong, but he, I think throughout more time, will prove that he's actually way better than you thought initially, and most importantly, he's completely stable and reliable, which is so incredibly important in F1 and in life. But okay, the real question though, fantasy suites. So everyone was drooling over Charles Leclerc and Carlos, obviously. Those are the for sure two picks for fantasy suites.
Ferrari.
But yeah, Team Ferrari is hot.
Yes.
Despite Mattia Binotto being the team principal. Honestly, my winner would be Carlos. Who would you choose?
Kimmy, because he would leave me alone.
But, like, straight up abandon you. That's actually, fine. No. He loves his wife.
That's true. I don't need that in my life. Okay, I take my back. He's on very...
On his Instagram, it's literally just a Samsung ad and then only pictures of his wife. And we love his Samsung ad because he just says, I choose Samsung.
Very Kimmy. The wife content is not very Kimmy, but it's nice to see that he loves his wife. It's
yeah, great. He's unexpectedly incredibly warm and attached
to his wife and children, which is what you'd want from a person.
Yeah.
You'd want someone to be attached to their wife.
That would, in theory, be great husband material, but then you said absolutely not. I would actually really love to get engaged to Kako.
Yes, I would marry Kako.
Kako is hot and scholarly and sophisticated and would probably give you space.
He would give you space, but he wouldn't leave you on red because he found time to comment on our reel, day of a race.
On the day of a Grand Prix, he responded to our Instagram.
Yes.
So you know.
And why would you want to marry someone who, like, drives 200 miles an hour on a regular basis? That seems like a lot of stress.
Yes. You'd
marry the person in the paddock.
Yeah, the manager of a Ferrari driver seems like a great aspiration.
Agreed. So Lawrence or Kako are our choices.
Wow.
Now everyone knows we don't watch Formula One for the sex appeal. We watch it for a combination of things, but it's not because we want to bang the drivers.
We like their personalities. It's not for the looks.
No. Unlike Zach Brown, who picks his drivers based on looks.
Yes, he's like, Carlos is hot. Oh my gosh, he would love this Reddit thread. He'd be like, yes, Carlos or Charles could get it.
Literally, Zach looks at the drivers like, marketing.
Yeah. Okay, so that wraps up what we thought about a potential Bachelor season. But we have a question for our new audience. We really want to do a movie recap.
Racing movie recap.
Yeah, about a race-related film. And we have two options that we'll put in a poll on Instagram, but even if it expires by the time you check, you could just email us at boxboxf1pod@gmail.com.
Or DM us.
Yeah, message us on any of the various platforms we're now on, which are
everywhere.
Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Reddit. So the two movie ideas are Talladega Nights, which is a Will Ferrell film that's a satire on NASCAR, which I think we'll really love. And then also Fast and Furious.
If you have a preference for which Fast and Furious movie we should recap,
please DM us. Yeah, well, this is what I'm going to say. Fast and Furious, like the original movie and like all the ones in the beginning, are more about illegal street racing, like cars and all that. But then it gets into heist, spying, and crazy plots. And I mean, obviously there's still cars and like some racing, but it's really, it's globalized and crazy. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I do think it'd be interesting to do the first one because it's so much sets the scene of like what street racing is.
The only thing I really wanted to discuss was in the Hobbs and Shaw movie that came out where
why don't Dwayne we watch that?
Dwayne got into a McLaren, which is just the funniest image to me.
Yes, because, okay, as everyone knows, The Rock is massive. And then a McLaren is so small that in Drive to Survive... McLaren is
built for Lando.
Yeah, a McLaren is built for a small British boy. But it's so small that in Drive to Survive, if you remember, Carlos went grocery shopping and didn't even buy that much. He just got a bag of groceries and there was no space for the groceries in his McLaren that he drove to the grocery store.
And I think everyone will remember that in the opening scene for the McLaren headquarters, Zach Brown drove into work in a Range Rover. And at the time, we were like, why would the head of McLaren drive a Range Rover? And then we realized because the head of McLaren can't fit into a McLaren.
Because the head of McLaren, Zach Brown, is the Santa of F1. He doesn't want his daily commute to be crushing.
No, I think that is where the Range Rover was a smart idea.
Yeah, a Range Rover's roomy.
Yeah.
Yes. But anyways, okay, so vote in our poll or DM us or email us. And especially for if you choose Fast and Furious, please specify which one.
Yes, because we don't know. And then it's on to the French Grand Prix.
We're going to be cooking some French food ahead of the race.
Yes, and please vote. Would you like me to do the entire French GP recap in Cyril's accent?
I do.
Okay.
But are you...
capable?
Are you capable? Yeah.
We'll see. I could try.
It's like 40 minutes straight.
I'll just eat some duck and a baguette. Yes. And
that should do it.
Yeah, that'll surreal me right up. Anyway, we will see you guys in a few days. Thank you for sticking around.
Box, okay. Box.
Box, box.